Part 4. So today, this Leela that has happened on Mathura's King's Road, devotees should meditate on this Leela and think about what is the reason for the Lord for doing this Leela. The reason behind this Leela is that one should serve Krishna. We should serve Krishna favorably, and to speak against Krishna, and to not love Krishna, and to speak against him or blaspheme him, it destroys their life in this life and in the next. Therefore, one should accept the Lord in their life. Those who are living, but they're living because they have accepted the Lord in their life, their life is completely different compared to other people. Suppose you're wearing clothes, and one person is wearing some clothes, he's going to a wedding, but the same cloth, if you put it on a dead body, going to the morgue, it becomes inauspicious. It's the same cloth, but a person doesn't even want to look at that cloth. And if somebody says, here, please take this cloth, and from the dead body, and he says, please take this cloth, and you can make a gamcha out of it. What to speak of seeing that cloth? He would say, I'd rather die than to wear that cloth. He would not even want to look at it. So it's the same cloth. So without the bhakti of Krishna, the life that one is living is like a dead, is like dead body. It's his breathing is also going on, but it's like a dead person is breathing. If you see a dead person breathing, it becomes more frightening. If somebody is carrying a dead body and suddenly people see that his chest is going up and down and breathing, then what will happen? So actually, if people are living without bhakti, doing bhakti for Krishna, they're living dead bodies. Most people in this world are dead bodies. Very few here and there on this earth are actually living persons who are chanting the names of the Lord. To accept the Lord in your life, to offer him with love, this is life. We're living in the world made by the Lord for us. We should offer whatever is given to us to the Lord, and then we should live. From this Leela, this is what is to be understood. So taking these clothes, the Lord moved forward. Text 40. So walking on this road, King's Road, he reached a person called Vayak. Vayak means a tailor. There were people all around him, from citizens of Mathura, people watching, ladies watching from the roofs, and hundreds and thousands of people are walking along with him, looking at him. And people owning the shops on the side of the road, they're all coming forward with love. Somebody is coming and offering fruits from his store. Somebody is bringing jewelry, gold, ornaments and offering to him. So clothes are very important according to time, place and circumstance. So Krishna needed this decent clothes, and he approached the weaver or the tailor. So this weaver, he came forward and with loving feelings he offered obeisances. And the Lord said, take this cloth, too big for me, cut it like this and make it of my size. He was not alone, he had many workers with him. He must have been a master tailor. He had a lot of help, and very quickly Krishna's clothes, Balaram's clothes, and all the Gwalbals, Krishna's friends' clothes, very quickly he adjusted everyone's clothes to their size, and with the leftover cloth he made beautiful turbans, and he put some designs here and there, some flower, and decorated the cloth, and sometimes he mixed and matched little pieces from other boys' clothes on different boys' clothes, and he made everybody a very nice set, and he made it very quickly. Although there were hundreds of Krishna's friends, he had many helpers in his tailor shop, and very quickly he made all these clothes for Krishna. And here Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the weaver, he put the cloth armlets and earrings, he made them with cloth that looked just like jewels. Here the word anurupataha indicates that the colors matched very nicely. He asked, one boy asked me, what did Krishna do to his old cloth that he was wearing? And I told him, I don't know, maybe he gave to one of his gopa friends to keep for him in his bag. Text 41. Just like a black baby elephant and a white baby elephant. Baby elephants are very beautiful. If they're decorated with the black baby elephant is decorated with yellow cloth, and the white baby elephant is decorated with blue cloth, and baby elephants are very beautiful. And generally, when elephants are grown up, they don't get so much to eat, so they're not as plump and chubby as baby elephants. They have very beautiful skin, and they're small, and they're very chubby and playful. And baby elephants are very attractive. If you've ever seen a baby elephant, so if you imagine a little dark color baby elephant and a white color baby elephant and decorated with different colors cloth all over, they were looking very beautiful. Until now Krishna never wore so many clothes, or maybe not such expensive clothes, because he used to go to the forest in the dirt to take the cow. In the morning he didn't even have time to have breakfast. What to speak of getting dressed up? His mother would pack his breakfast in a cloth, and they will tie it and take it to the forest. So he used to wear simple cloth, but here he's having to wear He's having to wear the tailor made a jacket for him, and a dhoti, and a very nice chador, mukut, decorated like a prince. So here he was in the village. He used to dress very simply, and here he's dressed with very wonderfully ornamented, expensive clothes. In the village, he didn't even have time to have breakfast. Very early in the morning, he would leave the house, and his mother would pack his breakfast and tie it in a cloth, and they would have it in the forest. So what to speak of getting dressed up? And he used to wear simple cloth because they used to roll around in dirt. But here he has to wear, in the city, he has to wear a jacket, and he has to wear princely clothes, very nicely decorated. Text 42. The Lord became very pleased with weaver. And Krishna was trying to offer some payment for his work. Some devotees say that when Krishna went to Mathura, his mother must have given him some gold coins to take with him, since he's going to Mathura, a big city. Maybe he'll do some shopping. How will he be able to do shopping without any money? So he offered. This weaver fell at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balram with folded hands, and he said, "My greatest payment I have received is that you have come to my house and allowed me to serve you. And I pray that life after life, always, I will receive, I will be allowed to serve you." So, the Lord, He blessed him that after death he will achieve liberation. He will go to Vaikuntha. And he'll attain a form just like the Lord's. But because in this material world, some atheistic persons, they may say, "Oh, big deal, you're giving something after this life." And they may not believe anything after this life. They may say, "Oh, you've taken service, but you're promising to give something, you know, after he dies." So here, Krishna is also offering him in text 42, Shriyam cha paramam loke baleshwara smriti indriyam. He said, while in this world he would enjoy supreme opulence, lot of wealth, he offered him physical strength till the end of his life. In this world, he gave him Paramam Shriyam, means the greatest Shriyam, the best, very high quality opulence. And so much wealth he offered him like no one had. Those who give to Krishna, it has been seen in this world that Krishna gives them a lot of wealth. We were in New York Rath Yatra, and somebody told this person I was with, he said to this person, the Lord has, this person had a lot of wealth, and this person said, he was told that the Lord has given you wealth according to your desire. And this person said, "No, actually he has given me thousands of times more than I had ever desired." And then I asked him how. So I asked him, so how did you get so much wealth? And he said, because I started giving to the Lord. Before I had hardly any money. This is a person in England. He said, I gave to the Lord, so he gave me so much back. He said, one time I went to a temple in Janmashtami and people were offering, making pledges, and when it was his turn to offer something, he said I didn't have anything, but he said I was wishing I had so much to give. So I made a pledge anyway. I made a pledge that I will give £500. And later, with great difficulty, I collected this £500 to fulfill my pledge, and I offered it. And since then, wealth started pouring into my business, and I've been getting a lot of Lakshmi. I had never expected. Thousands and thousands times more my business increased since I gave. This is a very true story. I can tell his name. His name also. This is the effect of giving to the Lord. He says, before that I used to be in great anxiety. He used to be in great anxiety how to get some money for his maintenance. So this tailor, he did service for Krishna. And Krishna blessed him with unlimited wealth. Paramam Shriya. And Bal. Physical strength. Aishwarya means very influential person. He'll become very influential. And Smriti means he will not lose his memory in his old age. And his senses, Indriyam. Till the time of his death, he will remain very strong with good memory and perfect senses, just like a young man. Many times people ask me, my so-and-so in my family is sick, please bless him. And I always tell him, please again and again offer obeisances to the deities. And by offering obeisances to deities, so many difficulties of life, they disappear. And sometimes I tell them to chant Narasingha Kavach, Narayan Kavach. What else could this weaver, this tailor, ask for in this world and in the next? He got so much by doing this service for Krishna, became pleased with him. After this, the Lord, he went to the person called Sudama. He is a malakar, person who makes malas. Dam means mala, garland. Su means sundar mala, beautiful mala. So because from many generations his family were making garlands, his name was Sudama. Their family tradition was to make garlands and they were offered to the deities. So Krishna, maybe he had a sign on his shop, or maybe Krishna happened to see him. And maybe he had many garlands hanging all over around his shop. So the two lords, he had good clothes. Now he needed a garland. So when he saw the garland maker, the two lords, they went to the house of this garland maker, Sudama. In Vrindavan, he would always wear a flower garland. You never see Krishna wearing a garland of jewels. He loves garland of flowers. He wears a Kastuba jewel on his chest. But he always likes to wear flower garlands. So both the brothers went to Sudama's house. Then Sudama saw both of these brothers. They were walking towards his store. His store and the house was the same. Maybe he lived in the back of his store with his family. His store was in the front house, he lived in the back. He immediately stood up. He stood up and bowed down. Nanam, Shirsa, Bhuvi. He bowed down with his head on the ground. This is called bhakti. In the same Mathura, that Rajak or the washerman used to live, the Lord begged him so humbly and he didn't even give him nice words. Vachane ka daridrata. If somebody doesn't have any money, he is poverty stricken, but at least he should have sweet words. There are some people who are poverty stricken of words. Instead of giving something, they will start swearing and saying bad words. Sometime in India, you see a beggar comes to the store, stands outside the store or a house, and people start shouting at him, get out of here, move ahead, move ahead. Instead of, as it is, you're not giving anything, and on top of it, you're saying bad words. These are the errors of sharp words. One should never say such harsh words. You never know when, in whose form the Lord might be standing in front of you. As an ordinary person or a beggar, he may come to you. Some people say, oh, he's according to his karma, he's poor, we cannot take care of him or keep supporting him. But if somebody in your house gets sick, that's his karma, let me not do anything? At least, if somebody approaches you, if you cannot give, we should be with sweet words. We do not have even sweet words, then at least just remain quiet. It's like if you go to somebody's house, and instead of giving, they throw acid on your face. So the Rajak washerman was like that. And after this, he called all his family members. He gave them asan. It's not that he had a special asan for the Lord. Whatever he had in his house, he brought. And he put some nice cloth on it, and the Lord sat on it. And all around the house there were flowers. He offered garlands. He bathed the feet of the Lords, Krishna and Balaram, and he worshipped them, and he did puja to them. He brought water, argya, and he brought garlands. First of all, he washed with his own hands, bathed their feet with his own hands, massaged them. if a sadhu or Vaishnava comes to your house, it is your dharma to wash his feet. In the olden days it used to be because people used to walk a long way to come to your house. So this was the Siddhanta, this philosophy that somebody has walked a long way to come to your house, a sadhu, saintly person. So you sit him down and then you wash his feet, make him comfortable. And so to protect the Siddhanta, the philosophy or the culture, even today, when a sadhu goes to a person's house, even today in India people would offer them a seat and wash their feet and sprinkle the water on their heads. You've seen? This is like a parampara coming down. Even though a person has come on a plane or a car, still they would wash their feet. People in this country will not be able to understand. They one time somebody washed a sadhu's feet with cold water in winter. And the sadhu said, now this has become a great tapasya for me, that to have my feet washed, because it was very cold water. It's very austere to have the feet washed. Actually feet should be washed to make the person comfortable. According to the weather, one should use the temperature of the water. It's the month of May in India and you bring hot water and wash his feet. In winter you need warm water. Whatever it is, Sudama, he washed their feet. Not just Krishna Balaram, but all the boys he welcomed. He offered garland, tambul, paan, sandalwood paste, anulep, and many generations he would be offering paan. It is a folded green leaf with sweet things in it that you chew, and garlands, sandalwood paste. This is the way to welcome somebody who comes to your house. He had plenty of garlands hanging around, so there was no problem. He was able to offer one to everybody. Sometimes we see that we go to somebody's house and they had invited 8 Vaishnavas, so they had bought 8 garlands and 11 of us turned up. So a few devotees didn't get garland, but none of the Krishna's friends were left without garlands. He had plenty of garlands. But sometimes if somebody is going somewhere and there is not enough garlands for everybody, one can welcome them with a flower. You can offer a flower in the hand. That is also a welcome. He washed the lotus feet and he sprinkled it on everybody. He sprinkled on everybody's heads in his family. All his family members, his wife, his children, they all came forward and they offered obeisances to Krishna Balaram. They offered obeisances to all the cowherd boys. This kind of grihasthi, householder life, is actually glorious. The house in which there is the Supreme Lord and also devotees of the Lord. Devotees of the Lord, sadhus that go to somebody's house, that house becomes purified. Then what to speak of the house in which the Lord personally enters? He went with the sadhus, all his friends. Why that house would not be glorious? Sudama says, Text 45. He says, Hey Prabhu, my life has become worthwhile. The reason for which Lord Brahma gives a human form of life, that life of mine has become worthwhile today. You, the Supreme Lord, have come to my house. My house today has become purified. I got a chance to serve you. My taking my birth has become successful. The success of life, success of taking a birth, a human birth, is not that we grow up and we get the good education. He was a big man, or he had a lot of wealth, lot of education. This is not the success of life. Or even a very high post is not the success of this life. Success of this life is to chant the holy name of the Lord. He says, Prah naha sarthakam janma. Naha means mine. Cha kulam, Prabhu, he says. Kulam means the whole family. Means my forefathers also. Pitri devarshayo means Pitri. My forefathers, Deva, the demigods, Rishayo, the great sages, they've all become satisfied with me. Any person has a great rin, or he has a lot of obligation to forefathers. Forefathers, demigods, the great sages, etc. And how to pay off that debt, the obligations. This obligation or debt is paid by serving them. And the best way of serving your forefathers, the debt from the forefathers, debt to the forefathers is that we have a body because of them. We have a debt to them. So, our forefathers are always expecting that my son, grandson, etc., they will do something good, pious, they will live truthfully, and by living in such way, the forefathers are thinking that if my descendants, they act in this way, piously, then they will benefit wherever they are. So this is the debt we have to pay off our forefathers. Just like Bhagirath Maharaj, he brought the Ganga and he satisfied his ancestors. In this way, all the ancestors, they keep this, they have the desire that their life will be improved by their descendants. But if their descendants, they instead of going to temple, they go to the club, drink, eat meat, etc., then they will go to more in the hellish condition, because the way their descendants are acting. So these kind of descendants, children, grandchildren, if they become sinful, then their ancestors, if they're already in hell, they will be put in more hell for a longer time. And if their descendants are pious, then they become elevated wherever, whichever position they're in, they go in a higher position. So they're always expecting, and we have that debt towards our ancestors. So that family is glorious in which family devotee is born. And even if a person has a devotee child in their family, then if any of his ancestors are in the hellish planets, they become delivered from, they become elevated, they become taken out of those hellish conditions and sent to the heavenly conditions because of this devotee child born in their family. And this scriptures, Ved Shastra, that we are reading, we owe this to the sages who have spoken this and who have written this down. Otherwise, we will not have this Bhagavatam in front of us. So we have a debt to be paid to the rishis, the great sages. Alone, on our own, how we can understand the Lord. Now, when we hear Bhagavatam, we hear satsang, and to be able to hear and to know about the Lord and His pastimes, this is we have a great help from the previous sages. So when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, we become free from our debt to the rishis. And demigods, they give us light, they give us rain, they give us food. So we have a debt to the demigods. So when we offer to the Supreme Lord, then the demigods, they become satisfied. So in whose house, a person in whose house Krishna comes, why the demigods will not be satisfied? So he is saying, both of you have come to my house, whenever there is talk about Pitri, forefathers, there is talk about Jal, water. In the month of Pitri Paksh, everyone offers, this is the time people offer to their forefathers, food and water. And we see everyone at this time, they go in the holy river and with their palms joined full of water, they offer that water. And so in this way, the forefathers, are generally unsatisfied. They need this and that, and by offering water at that time, they receive everything they need. And especially if their descendant, somebody becomes a devotee, they become satisfied in every way. Text 46. Krishna says, oh, why are you saying like this? I am just an ordinary cowherd boy. You're saying your Pitris, forefathers, etc. They're satisfied. How can you say that? Krishna is telling. How can you say, because we're just ordinary boys, cowherd boys. And then in text 47, this Malaka Sudama, he says, that I know that you're the ultimate cause of this entire universe. your Ishwar. From you, a universe has come. He understood his Lord. He recognized that these were the Supreme Lord because he was a devotee. He said, this is a very beautiful subject. He says, you bestow sustenance and prosperity upon everybody in this entire universe. This is a subject that we should all ponder upon, that actually who made this universe and who is sustaining us? Who made this universe, this earth, water? None of us have made. Is there anybody who can make these things? We come empty-handed when we take our birth, and then we say this land is ours, this house is ours, ours. When we came totally naked, not even a underpants. Did we, any of us, come with anything like that? You can say, no, it's my father's property. This house, this land. This house, this land, it's been given, handed down to me by my forefathers. But if you ask all your forefathers one by one, did you bring this with you when you were born? All of them will say no. And in the end, if you ask Lord Brahma that, did you bring this when you were born? And even he will say no, he was born without anything. He will say that Lord made these five elements and from that I created and put all these things together. Even he didn't make the original five elements. This is completely true. Every person should, these atheists, they should understand that none of us made any of these material elements. And these are made by somebody. And somebody, and anybody who's too much atheistic, at least even the biggest atheist, he cannot say that we made this. If he's honest, he can say, I don't know who made this. But at least you know that you didn't make it. That much you should understand, he should understand that he didn't bring it with him, it was there. Maybe he is ignorant about who made this. So none of us have come with anything in this world. So much has been given to us in this earth. There's so much gold, silver, water, so much oil. The earth is giving us. So many cars are running around. All these cars are running from oil that's taken out of the earth. Unlimited supply, almost vast supply of so many things the earth is offering to it. If you put it all together, it is unsurmountably unimaginable. Text 47. Sri Ram is commenting on these two leelas. He is saying, nahi vam vishma dishti. He says that you do not have a biased vision. You are sudriho. You are the well-wishing friend of everybody in the universe, Jagat. Actually, Krishna does not have biased vision. It's not that he didn't like he didn't like this washerman, and he likes flower man, Garland, Sudama. The others, they have the biased vision. They consider him to be friend or enemy. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says from his own lotus mouth that I am Sam to everyone. No one is my friend and no one is my enemy. This biasness comes from the other side. Some people, they claim to be my friend, or some claim to be my enemy. But why is Krishna Sam to both of them? Why he is not Visham, means why he is not biased? Because his Suhrid, his Suhidor Jagad Atmano, he is the well-wishing friend of everybody, and Jagat Atmano, he is the soul of the whole universe. And Sudama says, you're in everybody's heart. He's saying, my dear Lord, Samayo Sarva Bhutanam, you're in the hearts of all living entities. You're equal, just like you're kind to me, you're kind also to the Rajak, the washerman. Whether Krishna seems to deliver somebody and he seems to kill somebody, it is both actually the same. Just like there's somebody lying in the gutter and one kind person comes and he says, come on, I have place in my house, you can come, and he has to slap him a little bit to bring him to his senses, but that slap is not actually to hurt him, is actually to do good for him. By slapping this person lying in the gutter, he's waking him up and taking him to his house where he'll be very comfortable and he'll have everything and a very good life. So anybody witnessing, he may say, this man is so cruel, he's slapping this man who's in the gutter. But, so the Lord is like that. When he kills somebody, he actually very kindly takes them to his house. Well, somebody, an atheist person may say, oh, he didn't get what he wanted from the washerman, so he slapped him, he beheaded him. And this garland man gave him a garland, so he blessed him. And some people argue like that. Some people argue that when they hear this pastime, they say, well, this washerman, he didn't do anything bad, he was just doing his duty. The clothes didn't belong to him. How could he give his clothes to some boy that comes to him? And I say that the clothes he couldn't give, but he could have spoken. He didn't have to speak such harsh words. He could have spoken sweet words. He could have said. This person was. The garland man was devotee for many lifetimes. So he may have heard also in this life about Krishna. So he had done previously service for many lifetimes. So in this life, when he saw the Lord, he recognized him immediately. and started to glorify him. And you can see in your life, our life also, so many people we preach to and give to Krishna consciousness, but very few take it up. They accept the Lord. They say, Krishna is ours, I belong to him. They will become his devotees. And they would offer and start worshipping the Lord. And so many don't want to know anything about him. Some people say, okay, so there is your Krishna, but we're not interested. And others simply say, there is no God, and if he is, there is no form. There is no form. This path of impersonalism, nirakar, is because they don't want to. They don't want to accept the Supreme Lord has a form because they don't want to do service. If there is no form, then there is no question of dressing him or feeding him or serving him. Otherwise, he has to offer obeisances. He has to cook, clean. When it comes to accepting the Supreme Lord, he is nirakar, means he has no form. But for eating, there has to be form. They say, we worship the Lord in our heart. So sometime you should also eat just in your heart, in your mind. You should just sit and meditate that you're cooking and then just eat in your mind also. So bhajan, you say that you just do in your heart. You don't need, there's no form. But food there has to be. So one day you can go. You don't go to office, you stay at home and you tell your boss, I went in my mind and I did all my work, I was there. Very nicely your boss will welcome you. This Krishna's bhakti has to be done with mind, with words and with the body. We tell someone to chant Krishna's name. They say, I am chanting inside. And we tell them, no, you must chant out loud. And then they argue, well, you're chanting, but your mind is here and there, then what's the use? What's the use chanting? And I tell them, doesn't matter. Your mind may be going here and there. You're chanting. You're trying to bring your mind to chanting. Your mind may go here and there. It doesn't matter. Just like a person who's a guard, he's guarding a building, and he has to stand there and guard. His mind may be anywhere. His mind may be at home with his family, but as long as he's standing there guarding, he will get paid. But one day, if he doesn't come, he stays at home, and he'll tell his boss, "I was there in my mind. I was standing and guarding in my mind." Then what will happen? Then he will not get his payment. Maybe he won't have a job. But as long as he's standing there and his mind may be somewhere else, he will get his salary. One should, with their body, mind and words, worship Krishna, serve Krishna. But If one just accepts the Lord as nirakar without form, then it's very nice. He doesn't have to bend down, offer obeisances even, offer pranams. One man was arguing with me. He says, you all do dandavat, we also do dandavat. You lie down like a stick, I stand like a stick. So I said, you're doing dandavat, but you're not doing pranam. Dandavat means to stand like to be like a stick. And when you do dandavat pranam, then you're doing obeisance is, you are falling flat in front of the Lord as a stick. So you're standing like a stick, but you're not doing pranams. Then one devotee was with me. He started joking with this person. He said, stick if was standing, and somebody just lets go the stick, it will fall very hard on the ground like a big bang. This is how you want to be? If you're standing like a stick and we just push you a little bit, then you will fall flat, but it will hurt you a lot. He was just joking with this man. So the Lord is some, equal to all living entities, but those who love Him, He loves them. He reciprocates. Suppose a man has many sons, but the one son who serves his father in all ways and tries to make him happy and pleases him. And even though the father is equal to all the sons, but although he is equal to all the sons, but he reciprocates to this one son who serves him very lovingly and who's very affectionate to his father and caring. So the father, equally he takes care of all his children. He provides them food, clothing, etc. But this one son, he is more affectionate because he's not biased towards his son. He's equal to all of them. The biasness is from the other side. The other sons, they do not care for him or ask him how he is or serve him or do what he says. The biasness is from the other side. Just like Yayati Maharaj, he had many sons. He asked all his sons to give him their youth. But none of them gave, except the youngest. The youngest one agreed to give, exchange his youth for his father's old age. And so in the end, when his father was leaving the kingdom, he became renounced. He returned to this youngest son and he made him the king. Although he was the youngest, the eldest has the right to be the king, but he made this youngest son the king because he said, you are actually qualified to be the king. He said to the others, you will not be called Kshatriyas. Although you are my sons, you are born Kshatriyas, but because you did not follow my instruction, you are not to be considered Kshatriyas. And this Yayati Maharaj, from his lineage, was where the Pandavas born. So those who are take shelter of the Lord, who are devotees of the Lord reciprocates with him. It's like the Kalpavriksha. Kalpavriksha is there. And those who approach the Kalpavriksha, the desire tree, will reciprocate with such persons. And those who do not, will not get anything. So Kalpavriksha is some. He is equal to everybody. So this is the nature of the Supreme Lord also. So text 48. Sudama, he's asking, please both of you order me what you want me to do. In all ways, the success of our human form of life is for us to understand what is it that the Lord wants from us. His order, I have to fulfill His desire. So Sudama is asking, how should I behave from which? How should I behave? What kind of my behavior would make you happy, would be pleasing to you? This is your greatest blessing to anyone, is to be engaged in some service to you. This is how a son should be, like a devotee. This is how a devotee should be to the Supreme Lord, as the son should be to his father. What can I do for you? What can I do that will be pleasing to you? Just like, not that the father wants to say something to the son or ask something from the son, but he does not have the guts to ask. It should not be like that. Maybe he will do or not do. The son should be always ready to follow the instruction of the father. Just like Krishna told Arjun, when Arjun surrendered, he asked Krishna what I should do. And Krishna said, you fight, kill. And Krishna and Arjun did in the end. And that was pleasing to Krishna. When Sudama asked in this way, Krishna indicated. Sudama could understand what Krishna and Balram wanted. Then him and his wife made the most beautiful garlands. And he offered. Krishna said, when he asked Krishna what I can do for you, Krishna said, I want garland. He made garlands from very fresh and very beautiful flowers. And he offered to Krishna Balram. When they came first, he just offered the garland that he had. But now he made some very special garlands that pleased the heart of Krishna. He made the garlands with very top quality fragrant flowers. Here we find generally the flowers don't have scent. In India, even now, most of the flowers we find, we make garland, have a very beautiful scent. Sugandhai Pushpai. Virichita Mala. Virichita means with different, he made with variety of flowers. Fresh and fragrant flowers he offered to Krishna and Balram. When he asked the Lord, what I can do for you, Krishna asked, told him what service he wanted according to Sudama's means. He knew he was a flower garland maker, so he asked for a flower garland. Not that he did not say, give me a garland made of jewels, millions of dollars of jewels. Krishna always tells according to the power of the person what he can do for him. So when somebody asks you, sir, what can I do for you? We should understand what is his capability and then request accordingly. Not that if somebody wants, that he wants to do some service for you, but you ask for something he's not able to give. Not that you ask him for thousands of dollars and then he will never want to see you again. We should see what is the situation of a person, how to engage him in Krishna's service. So Krishna asked him for flower garland. What does it take to offer a garland? A poor person can give. In India, even today, 5 rupees, you can get a very fragrant garland. What? Krishna did not ask him for useless things. He needed garland, so he asked for garland. No, he did not ask Sudama, give me a room in your house with an attached bathroom. I have no house in Mathura. I can live here for a few weeks. No. Whatever he needed at that time, he requested. And Sudama gave. They made special garland for all the friends of Krishna. He welcomed both Krishna Balaram with garlands and all his friends. And not just one garland for Krishna and Balaram, but many, many garlands. There are many services for the Lord, but mala is a very special service. Humans do not know how to wear a flower garland. Some many times we give to politicians an offered garland, immediately they take it off and put it on their arm. We don't know how to wear garland. But Krishna always wears a garland. This garland is not meant to be kept on the arm. It's meant to be worn. Prasad mala is to be worn with great pleasure. We have to learn. We should not be shy about wearing a garland that is offered to the Lord. In the Shastra it is said that a person, one should not wear, offer himself a garland. That you buy a garland and you just wear it. No. But a flower garland that's offered to the Lord must always be worn. Sometimes even at night I wear garland, go to sleep. This has been on the body of the Lord. Maybe it will feel a little cold, but sometimes I just leave it on. This is the Lord's prasad. Indra did not accept the Lord's garland, and so Durvasa had to curse. Durvasa cursed. Then Sudama asked Krishna what I can do for you, and then he offered garlands, and he decorated the Lord, and he fed sumptuously all Krishna Balaram, his friends. The Lord became very pleased with him. Both brothers, they said to him, please ask. Please ask for a boon. The Lord blessed him with achala bhakti. Achal means his pure devotional service. Sudama chose for unshakable devotional service for Krishna, achala bhakti. This is what he asked for. But before leaving, actually he asked for 3 things. Achal bhakti, friendship with his devotees, and jiva daya, compassion for all living entities. Sudama asked for these 3 things. This is the wealth of a living entity. Bhakti for Krishna, friends to all the devotees, and merciful to all living entities. Chaitan Mahaprabhu said to Sanatan Goswami, Krishna Bhakti, Jiva Daya, Vaishnava Sevan. Suno Sanatan, Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatana Goswami, also these three things. There is no other dharma for a living entity than to have devotion for the Supreme Lord, friendship to the Lord's devotees, and mercy towards all living entity. There is no greater wealth than this. So Sudama asked for these three things. So the Lord offered these three boons, and after this, he also awarded him Balam Ayush. He gave him strength, long life, fame, beauty, and ever increasing prosperity for his family. Means the wealth that Sudama is getting now, his son will get more than him, and his grandson will get more than him, and so on. Generally, people are more concerned about their children than of themselves. When we ask them, they say, oh, it's going okay. What will happen to these children? So, generally people are more concerned about the well-being and the future of their children. So, when you are concerned about your children, the best thing is to do is to be a devotee of Krishna. Whatever you need, Krishna will give. So he gave all these things. He gave such wealth to him that he will be ever increasing. That they will never have debt in his family. They will never have to worry about payments. So he will be balam, completely strong body and long life. Ayur yasha. Balam ayur yashaha. And yasha means kirti, fame. You will do great things in your community. You will be remembered by. And kanti, very beautiful body till the end of your life. Not that you have a very long life but spend the whole life in bed. No, he was blessed with all these things, strength, long life, beauty, till the end of his very long life. And Sudama asked, please, if you stay in Mathura, please keep coming to my house. Krishna took leave with his elder brother and he walked ahead on the king's path. This was all these three pastimes, mercy on this Sudama, the flower maker, the tailor, and the Rajak, the washerman. All these three pastimes show the nature of the Lord. Actually, this Grihastha ashram is considered to be a hellish place. Please do not be offended by what I am saying. But this Grihastha ashram is glorious. In whose house sadhus come. This is the great glories about the householder, that in his house the sadhus come and purify his house. One devotee has made a commentary in his Bhagavatam. Sudama says to the Lord, he says, hey Krishna, by you coming to my house, by you coming to my house, the blessing that I've always received from the Brahmanas today, it has become fruitful. And it means that by you arriving at my house, today I have understood that the service that I did, the blessing that I received from the Brahmanas and the service that I did to my forefathers has all become fruitful today. The previous in life, all the yagyas, austerities that I have done before has become fruitful. Today you have, your lotus feet is in my house, are in my house. My previous tapasya, everything. It is said, if in a grihastha's house, the wife is not manorama, means she speaks harshly, does not welcome him. Such a wife is in the house and he has no mother in the house and the son is not obedient, and then to keep the household going, he does not have much wealth. He's always bothered by how to get money to run his household. In such a kleshful household, it is hellish. Actually, household is considered hellish. Household life is considered hellish when this is the situation in the house. Mother is not there. Wife is not anukul. She is not kind and nice to him. And the son is disobedient. Then the household life is very hellish. But if the lotus feet of the sadhus enter his home, sadhus are considered like kalpa vrikshas. But who will live in such a grihastha ashram if sadhus don't come to his house? But if the household does not have anything, but the sadhus come to his house, that Sudama is saying. So Chanakya Pandit says, Chanakya Pandit says, whose house is such, there is no mother. Okay, so there is no mother. But even there is no mother and his housewife is not anukul, then his son is disobedient. He should go to the forest. He should leave his house, because there is no difference between forest and the house. At least in the forest he will be peaceful. He will live on fruits and roots and worship the Supreme Lord. So, one time one devotee asked me, if there's no difference between the house and the forest, then why go to the forest? This devotee asked me. But I told him, at home there's no shanti for him, he's not peaceful. At least in the forest he will be peaceful. He will not have to. In the forest he will bathe in the fresh water and eat whatever is available and worship the Lord, but at least he will not be day and night tortured. But it is the dharma of the wife to be very sweet to the husband, especially when he comes home from a hard day's work. There's no need for training for girls. In India, girls learn automatically by watching their mothers. There's no school for this. They watch when my father comes home, my mother receives him, welcomes him, sweet words. So when they grow up, they do the same. So Kalidas ji, he has written that about this girl. She's getting married and she's going off to her father-in-law's house. So the mother of the girl, she's preaching to her and saying, "My dear daughter, now you're going to your father-in-law's house. This and this and this you should do, and this is how you should behave. When he comes from work, you should stand up and receive him. And not that the wife is lying down on the sofa watching TV and the husband comes home, he has to unlock the door himself and come home and he takes a glass of water himself and he drinks it. No. One should get up and welcome him with sweet words and offer him a seat. That seat may already be there like a sofa. One should dust it and ask him to sit down. How was your day? Offer him some water. So slowly this culture is disappearing even in India. Kal Bhashana. One should speak gently and softly to the husband. Because the wife is the only one who can give some shelter to the husband. After a hard day's work, somebody may have given him a hard time at work. He may have had so many troubles, so many anxieties. But when he comes home, he should get some relief just by his wife welcoming him with sweet words. So this man, when he comes home, from a hard day's work and his wife is nice to him, then he says, east or west, home is the best. He forgets all his troubles. He feels happiness when he reaches his home. But home does not mean a house made of walls. If there is only a house but there is no wife, or man is himself and he comes home and has to cook and feed himself, that is not a home, that's a house. Often we see, but in homes this is not available to a man. In whose house the Supreme Lord comes, then this good fortune is received by this householder. So, in this way, these three leelas, according to the bhakti of these three people, the Lord gave them results. The washerman, the vayak, the tailor, and the flower garland man, Sudama. This tailor, he was not as high in devotion as the flower garland, because he did service, but he did not ask afterwards, what I can do for you now to please you. So the blessing of unbreakable devotional service he did not get. He got the blessing of dhan, wealth, etc. So now the Lord has clothes. He has garland. Now he needs sandalwood pulp. So on the way, he finds this hunchback woman. This story we will tell in the next session. Hare Krishna.